Jesus said to his disciples, "The kingdom of heaven is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
May my words and all our thoughts be acceptable to God, now and always. Amen. Please sit down. So we're given a special privilege today to welcome Rowan into God's family on earth. Of course, he became a member of that family from the moment he took his first breath. But today, his life is going to be formally recognized by the church. The birth of a child is greeted with overwhelming joy. At first, the joy is just for the parents and then close family. But nowadays, in no time at all, photographs are whizzing round the wider family and friends, and the joy spreads. I had the privilege of seeing Rowan before he took his first breath, when his scan was shown round at Evensong. A picture of a baby in the womb. Our ancestors would have been amazed. We now know what Rowan looks like outside the womb. But what we can't see is what sort of person he will be. We can make educated guesses because he has the advantage of choosing his parents very carefully. But he is unique, just as we all are. Think of the uncomfortable parable I have just read. Uncomfortable because we feel sorry for the villain of the story. All he did was bury the money because he didn't want to take risks with it and so was able to hand it back intact. Yet he was punished in a very dramatic manner, thrown into darkness with wailing and gnashing of teeth. Such a lovely word, gnashing. Way over the top for such a so-called crime. Of course, the story isn't really about money. It's about using the opportunities we are given, which may well mean taking risks in the eyes of the world. We've already done that. We're here, publicly, acknowledging that we believe in an eternal power, pure love that amazingly cares about us and will give us loving support if we ask. We're not here looking for riches or worldly power, but a clearer understanding of what it means to love each other, to love God, and to be loved. Today, we can almost feel that love, as Rowan is formally dedicated to God. Of course, he has been with God from the very beginning, but today is public acknowledgement from Rosie and Dan that there is more beyond this physical life. The power of God's love for us is stronger than death. Rowan has been marked with the sign of the cross, the sign of all those who have been baptized have had put on their foreheads, marking them out as members of Christ's body on earth, and acknowledging that being marked out as such doesn't mean that life will always be easy. The cross will be there, but so will God. Rowan won't know much about this day. In fact, he may well protest loudly at the unfamiliar things that are going to happen to him. But we will remember the joy and the love of today. We welcome today also the parents of Rosie and Dan, who are getting used to having the word grand put before their names. And we especially welcome those who are to be Rowan's godparents, as they take on the lifelong charge of praying for their godson and keeping contact with him as circumstances change. It may seem a strange topic for a baptism, but I recently led a very happy funeral for a lady, happy because she had led a full, active and useful life, but her body was just giving up. She had no direct family, but what she did have was 6 godchildren with whom she kept in touch throughout her long life. One of them took the lead in planning the service. 3 others travelled from some distance to be there, and 2 sent messages from their homes in other countries. Their godmother had always remembered them, and they stayed with her until they gave her back to God. Godparents have a very special role. They don't have to judge their godchild or even guide them unless asked. They just have to hold them before God, to pray for them, and to unconditionally love them, just as God does. So what else is going to happen today? Well, water plays an important part in baptism. We're very good at washing our bodies, but not so good at washing our souls and presenting ourselves as clean before God. Today, we'll be given the opportunity to symbolically wash our souls and make them fit for God's kingdom. Only Rowan will actually have water poured on him, but we will all be asked to affirm our faith in God. Then we will be asked to publicly welcome Rowan, not just into this church, but into the Christian community worldwide. We are going to say, "We welcome you into the fellowship of faith. We are children of the same Heavenly Father. We welcome you." Don't worry, you don't have to learn those words. They're in the book. I've never yet been able to finish saying those words to a newly baptized member without my voice quavering. What a wonderful way of welcoming a new member of God's kingdom. Finally comes the third symbolic element of the service, when a candle is lit for Rowan to show him that in a world that is sometimes very dark, we can use the love of God to spread a little light in the darkness. As we heard in the first reading, St. Paul says to the new church at Thessalonica and to all of us, "You are all children of light." God has not destined us for retribution, but for the full attainment of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up. I just repeat those last words. Therefore, encourage one another. Build one another up. Amen.